The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down.
And welcome back to our show, hour number two, and that is a really good piece of music that John has here bringing us in. The American dream has, in fact, turned into a nightmare. And it does seem like we're in one of the darkest periods of the American history. Anyway, to basically continue on what I was talking about before the top of the hour, the American Revolution was fought to free us from domination by a private central bank that issued all currency as a loan at interest. It was called the Bank of England. And the European banking families were all in a panic, because if this alternate system of banking, of government-issued value-based currency that didn't accrue interest, was allowed to sustain, the American standard of living would make other countries envious, and they would seek to change the systems they were living under. And this was a big part of what led to the French Revolution, and the very close relationship between the French Revolution and the American Revolution. And Britain tried to impose trade restrictions on the United States of America to try and force them back into doing business with British banknotes borrowed from the Bank of England. That was one of the contributing factors to the War of 1812. When that didn't work, the bankers basically came in and started bribing members of the government. And that's what led to the first and second banks of the United States, which were private banks authorized to issue banknotes for circulation and commerce at loans at interest. The second bank, of course, was shut down by President Andrew Jackson, who called the bankers, correctly, a den of vipers. And he was also the only American president in our entire history to pay off the national debt. And then in 1913, the bankers got together at a place called Jekyll Island, and they put together a new third Bank of the United States of America, but they didn't want the public to recognize it as yet another private central bank, so they decided to call it the Federal Reserve and sort of imply that it was part of the federal government, even though it isn't. It's no more federal than Federal Express. And they offered a lot of money and political support to politicians, including President Woodrow Wilson. And over the Christmas break, 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and Woodrow Wilson signed it to keep a campaign promise. Woodrow Wilson later wrote in his own diary, "I am a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my own country." So he knew what he'd done, and he knew the damage that would be caused down the road. And I'll tell you the simple reason why these private central banks are a disaster for every country that has them. The instant that first pretty printed piece of paper goes into circulation, it's called a Federal Reserve note in our case, more money is owed to that private central bank than is actually in existence. That's the problem. If I, as the Federal Reserve Bank, loan out a $1 Federal Reserve note to another bank, to the government, to consumers, and it circulates through commerce, and they bring it back to return it to the bank, hey, you still owe me 10 cents interest. Well, I don't have that 10 cents. It doesn't exist. Well, I'll loan you more money out of which you can pay the interest on the old money. And that's how the system has been running for almost 100 years. It worked up until recently only because there were always larger and larger populations of new young Americans coming into the economy who would borrow new notes from the Federal Reserve that would circulate through the economy and pay the interest on the old notes. It's a pyramid scheme. And I'll elaborate on that when we come back from these commercials. We must take
Do you ever find yourself in this situation? You're in your local health store looking for a remedy, and there are 20 different brands claiming to do the same thing. Well, it's time to stop worrying that it's a hopeless search. Fact is, every day we are exposed to an environmental medium that has become full of toxins. The only thing you can do to defend yourself is to find the solution. At TerraVim, we focus on carrying only the highest quality natural supplements. We understand it's a difficult task to filter through its multitude of options to find your divine source of immortality, your golden apple. That's why we have made available to you products that are at the top of their game. Natural vitamins and supplements your body understands how to utilize. Visit our website at terravim.com. That's TerraVim.com to find what you've always been looking for, the solution. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net, GetSeeds.net, or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And welcome back to our show here. And no, I am not John Stadtmiller. John is a little bit under the weather. I'm sitting in for him. My name is Michael Rivero. I'm the host of the What Really Happened radio show, which is also here on the Republic Broadcasting Network a little earlier in the day, so you can tune in to that show at some time. Now, we're talking about the Federal Reserve System being a giant Ponzi scheme, which survives only because new layers of borrowers are lured into the system in order to justify the creation of new money that circulates through the economy to pay the interest on the old money. But it only works if a greater and greater foundation of borrowers is always being located and created. But like any Ponzi or pyramid scheme, when you run out of that new floor, that new foundation coming in, it all starts to collapse. And that's what's been happening going back to 2008. Now, for a time, the government can step in and do the borrowing on your behalf, and without your permission, I might add. That's a big part of what all this TARP and bailout and everything is, because they're borrowing that money to give to Wall Street to bail them out from Wall Street's mortgage-backed security fraud. But it's still borrowing, and borrowing is how money comes into existence under a private central bank debt-based currency scheme. But the reason it is a permanent trap is because each new creation of money also creates more debt. And it creates debt faster and larger than it creates the available money. And that's why a lot of people, they say, what the heck happened? We're one of the most productive nations on earth. We all work hard. Americans are hardworking people. We're productive. We make good products. How can we be in this much debt after all this time? And it's simple. It's because the banking system by design always produces more debt than it produces money with which to pay that debt. Those trillions and trillions of dollars that are owed by the government or by consumers or by whoever, it doesn't exist, and it never, ever did. And it destroys entire countries. It helped bring down Rome. It's for that reason that in ancient times, Christians, right alongside the Muslims, outlawed compound interest because they had seen how it destroyed societies, how it took the wealth from the workers whose labor created that wealth and simply transferred it into the pockets of people whose only talent was how to game the system. And it wasn't until the Templars came along with their idea for renting money that Christians started to all of a sudden fall back into that same trap of interest-bearing loans. Now, a lot of people talk about the wealth of the Templars and where did they find it, and they found treasure underneath Jerusalem's Temple Mount. No, actually, they didn't, and they didn't need to. They had a lot of money that they'd collected together from the members who joined, and once they started loaning it out at interest, they were the only lender available to the crown heads of Europe, and they were loaning at interest, and they had no competition, so of course they became insanely wealthy. And ultimately, of course, when they had brought Europe to the edge of collapse and were openly talking about just taking it all over and forming their own country, that's when Philip the Fair and the Pope decided they had to take desperate measures. Now, I actually have a Templar in my ancestry, putting the lie to the claim that they were all celibate, I might add. And you'd think my sympathies would be with the Templars, but actually, no. Looking at what the IMF has done to Europe and what the Federal Reserve has done to the United States of America, those Templars didn't get half the kicking around they deserved. And what Philip the Fair did was, albeit a little more bloody, no different than what Andrew Jackson did. Kick out the private bankers in order to save the country's economy. So, anyway, our phone lines are still open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. What we're dealing with here is addictive behavior. We all understand when we see a heroin addict or a cocaine addict or a meth addict that they can't help themselves. The more they have of whatever their intoxicant is, the more they must have. And they're very destructive of their families, their homes, the community around them. And we recognize this addictive, destructive behavior. And eventually there is an intervention to stop the destructive behavior. Now, to the addict, what they're doing is a lot of fun. I caught this show they've got on TV, Intervention. They were interviewing this girl who liked to shoot cocaine. And they said, are you ever going to stop? She said, no, there's no reason to stop. I'm having fun. But we recognize this is a person in serious trouble. But there is something about our society where we don't recognize that money addiction is just as damaging and destroying to society as any chemical dependency. They've actually wired up the brains of stock traders to see what lights up when they have a good deal and they see that, you know, a couple more zeros hop onto the end of their net worth. The same part of the brain that is activated by cocaine is activated by a huge financial score. And it is very addictive. And that's why sooner or later, a lot of these financial wizards, they engage in criminal behavior, like Bernie Madoff is a classic example of a money junkie. Co-founder of NASDAQ, had more money than any of us could spend in an entire lifetime, although I'd like to try. And he still went out and set up a Ponzi scheme to screw his investors out of $65 billion. That's classic money junkie behavior. Doesn't matter how much they've got, it's not enough. They need that next fix. And sooner or later, we have to have an intervention because we're on the verge of losing the entire country to this addictive behavior. All right, we got a caller on the line. We've got Rodney in Illinois. Aloha, Rodney. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Hey, I've read a really good book, and the author's been interviewed a number of times on RBN. I forget the author's name, but the title of the book is Money, the 12th and Final Religion. And he makes a case and has a chapter entitled Interest, the True Holy Grail. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Mm-hmm. But it made a great deal of sense to me that the Holy Grail is not a fabled carpenter's cup that Christ drank out of, but is perhaps something that much more useful to these criminals to exploit and take control of the world. But I had a question about John Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a period of time in my life, I was quite comfortable calling myself a Calvinist. But I had it suggested to me that, one, that Calvin may have been a crypto-Jew, and second, which is a little more easy to support, that in Geneva, he actually reversed a millennia-old prohibition against usury and actually endorsed usury as one of the fundamentals of the Reformation. And, of course, you know the influence he had on the Reformation. But you can imagine, and I've thought to express it this way, if Calvin actually did reverse that prohibition of Christian prohibition against usury, like the Muslims still maintain, then what Calvin did, if in fact that's true, he unleashed the hounds of hell upon Christendom.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any supporting evidence to any of those things?
Well, I tend not. First of all, I'm not a religious individual. So my knowledge of Calvin and his influence on the Reformation is minimal at best, bordering on transparent. I do want to go back, though, and agree with something you said coming in there about banking and money being the new religion, because it absolutely is. It's based on a system of belief that you are taught from childhood to believe that these are the rules under which you must live. And in a very interesting way, rule by compound interest, which is what we're all subordinated to right now. You know, you owe the bank money, therefore you must do what the bank or its agents tell you to do. It's no more legitimate or real than rule by divine right, where you got to do what I say because God sent me here to bother you, or rule by chattel ownership of your body. You are my slave, therefore you must do what I say. It's just another in a long series of frauds perpetrated on humanity in order to enslave them to a ruling elite. And we already know we have outgrown the trust and faith and belief in rule by divine right. We have outgrown the hoax of rule by chattel ownership of your body. And I think we may, if we're lucky, we're on the verge of a transition where we come to understand that rule by compound interest and
right.
and manufactured debt is equally illegitimate. And we just say, I don't believe it anymore. I'm walking away from this thing. Have fun with the money you've got.
If I could paraphrase something that is attributed to Ben Franklin, and he said nations acquire wealth one of three ways. One is by conquest. The other is by free trade, as in you buy low, sell high. And he said the third is agriculture, or he called it the miracle of agriculture. Now, if you know, true wealth comes from, you know, the bounty of this earth and how it has a tendency to credit man with his labors. You know, he toils the soil and sits back and reaps a harvest, and lo and behold, he gets you know, a hundredfold increase on the grain that he put in the ground. Well, these bankers have figured out via compound interest how to appropriate the bounty of our earth with the labors of men unto themselves.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
That is exactly right. We got to take a break for commercials here. We'll be right back.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our leap year sale with prices from 5 years ago. From February 1st to February 29th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A 1-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
Welcome back to our show here, and I want to ask you a question. What is the difference between a slave and a person who is free? And it's really very simple. Free people can say no. Freedom means being able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Thank you very much. There is no freedom without the freedom to say no. If you can say no and make it stick, you're a free person. If you can't, you are a slave. It may be very carefully hidden from you, but you are a slave. And I'll give you a good example. When the United States was started, where the government issued a value-based currency and spent it directly into circulation, and the money would flow back and forth from the American people to the government, fueling commerce, banks were off to one side. The use of the bank was optional. You could, and many did, go through your entire life without putting your money in a bank or having to borrow money from a bank. It was your choice. It was your choice. That's what freedom is. Well, with the advent of the Federal Reserve, it's a little bit different, because now the Federal Reserve issues all the currency in circulation as a loan at interest. I'm not even sure that's legal. I'm not entirely sure the federal government had the authority to transfer money creation to a private central bank absent a constitutional amendment, but that's a topic for another show entirely. But once the Federal Reserve was issuing all the money as a loan at interest, now you are involving the bank in your life. You no longer have any choice. You can't say no. Merely to function in American commerce, you are using currency that is the proceed of a loan at interest. The interest will be extracted from you in higher prices or higher taxes. You will pay it. You have no choice but to pay the bank for the use of the currency in your hand. That is what makes you a slave. You've lost your power to say no to the private central bank. We're going to go to the phones. Mike in Iowa. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello, Mr. Rivera. When you talk about basically the whole federal central bank thing, this is something I really don't know too much about. I know a little bit, and I know a lot of people don't know anything. So what I find difficult is the simple fact that I went to good schools when I was growing up, and they were supposedly good, a better way to put them, and I wonder, did I really get educated? And obviously I did not, because many years later I'd read things and I'd say, well, do this. Why didn't they tell me this and that? Why didn't they explain money creation and all that? So a lot of people out there don't get this stuff because they're simply not told it. And to find it out is almost, it's basically mind-boggling. And what do you think of that?
Well, you know, yes, it absolutely is true. I mean, and I'll give you a very good, very easy example. When you are taught about the American Revolution in grade school, what do they always talk about? They talk about the tea tax, the Boston Tea Party. They talk about the Stamp Act. They talk about the British impressment of Americans to be crew on the British ships and things like that. They don't mention the Currency Act. They stopped teaching about the Currency Act in 1913 because, obviously, if they were still teaching about the Currency Act, the really smart kids in class would stand up and say, wait a minute, that's the banking system we have now. We're forced to use money, banknotes that are borrowed from a private bank at interest, instead of our government-issued currency. Why was it bad back then and good now? And they don't really have a ready answer for that. And you need to understand the extent to which the wealthy control the educational agenda in this country. Like the Carnegie Foundation. Andrew Carnegie endowed an educational foundation with a lot of his money, and its agenda is that the working class of America should not be given any more education than they need to do as they are told on the floors of the factories.
Basically, yeah. Actually, there's a book, Ford. He said something about, I don't think the average worker should know what the contents of this book are, because he thought that that kind of thought process would be dangerous. I can't remember the title, but...
Well, no, the antebellum slave owners used to have the same attitude. We're not going to teach the blacks how to read and write. It would just confuse them. And that was basically the attitude. I mean, Carnegie actually felt the super wealthy was a completely different species compared to the general population.
You know, that actually gets into the whole notion. Well, if you look at the guys who wrote the Brave New World, they were essentially trying to breed a new class of human that they thought would become some sort of superhuman and then rule the planet. Of course, they ended up going insane. And
well, H.G. Wells also predicted it with the Eloi and the Morlock, that the human race would break into different kinds and stuff. All right, we got to take a break here. Thank you for the call, Mike. When we come back, we'll be talking with George in Texas.
We must take
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
A new book with a provocative viewpoint about where we are headed, who is taking us there, and why. And it's available now, today. Author, radio host, and research guru Howard Axtell presents his new book, The Human Food Factor. Our beliefs in harmony and hope are being replaced with fear and empty promises that simply don't hold water. False prophets bearing gifts continue to mold our planet in their own image for profit. They offer costly entitlements that we already paid for. Where did all our money go? Who took it? Who are they? Follow the money trail with author Howard Axtell and order a hard copy or ebook of The Human Food Factor at thehumanfoodfactor.com. This book is a must to connect the dots and to know the truth. To understand where America is headed, who is taking us there, and why. Do your part. Learn the facts. Order the book right now. Get a signed copy today on sale. The Human Food Factor at thehumanfoodfactor.com.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Hi, my name is David Stovenel, and I host a talk radio show called Operation Restore Christian America. To listen online, go to GenuineChristianityNow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. My primary focus is that the Protestant Freemason British Royal Windsor family is now apostate and making their final all-out attack worldwide in an attempt to force us to accept their satanic New World Order. I offer remedies of how to stop them. The British monarchy has totally abandoned their ancestors' genuine Christian faith and have returned to their effort to conquer the world through the sovereign's will, hidden laws, violence, terror, and deceit. Remember, to listen online, go to GenuineChristianityNow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Welcome back here to our show here, the National Intel Report. I am not John Stadmiller. He's a little under the weather today. My name is Mike Rivero, and, well, moving onward, we're going to take another phone call. George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? George, are you there? Going once. He's not.
Hello?
He's not. Hey, there you are.
I accidentally had the mute button on my phone.
You got to stay awake for these shows here, man. There's going to be a pop quiz at the end of the period.
Oh, okay. But, you know, the thing is, I know I uploaded a video onto your site about a Iraq war veteran confronting John Bolton.
Yes.
I just can't believe the arrogance of John Bolton telling that veteran, you did a disservice to your country by just going up there and saying that to him. That, you know, there is blowback when we invade other countries for the bankers, and we are surprised when they fight back.
Well, John Bolton is basically the category of individual who wants what he wants and thinks it's a natural law, and that anybody who's not going along with the agenda is just being a bad person. And what else is John Bolton going to say? That the guy's wrong? No, we've done all these things in all these countries. Do they hate us because we, yeah, sure. So John Bolton's trying to find some way he can shut him up without having to actually address what the guy was saying. And, you know, you're doing a disservice to your country is about all he could think of.
I mean, because I don't really think it's a disservice to our country for him telling the truth. You know, I mean, soldiers get murdered for telling what's going on over there. Look at Pat Tillman. And he doesn't
you know, it, That's the important thing that we need to remember. These men and women have put on that uniform of the United States of America, and whether you agree with the war or not, and I don't, these people walked their talk. They showed a great deal of honor and integrity, certainly far more than we see in Washington, D.C. And it is no coincidence that those who are screaming the loudest for wars are the ones who serve the least in it, because they don't know what they're really talking about. To them, it's just a board game. And they put chips and they roll the dice and they see who comes away with the most goodies when it's all over. And they don't understand what the horror of it all feels. This is why Eisenhower, who was the supreme Allied commander in Europe, and when he became president, every step along the way he tried to oppose the rise of what he later called the military-industrial complex, because you could see how this lust for weapons and war was taking over the country's psyche and what a threat it was to our economy and our freedoms. And he wrote some of the most amazing speeches. This was a man who had become famous in war, and he was such a peacemaker later in life that his Cross of Iron speech is one of the most quoted speeches and deserves to be so.
Well, he even mentioned the word technocracy in his farewell address, and it's used a lot today, and it was probably not a word back then, a technocrat.
Well, it's easy to throw those words around, but we know that certain things become self-sustaining, monsters within our society. We had the military-industrial complex is still a problem. Now we have the new one, the security-industrial complex, where we're being forced to endure humiliation and pay for things we don't really want, like scanners and, you know, fondling. Computer security is a huge multi-billion-dollar-a-year business. The government's never going to go after the computer criminals because then they lose the tax revenues. We're a nation where the government and corporations need us to have broken products. They need our computers to be infected with Trojans. They need products to wear out and fail. They need us to be sick to keep the pharmaceutical companies in business, paying huge profits to the wealthy and taxes to the government. If everybody was healthy, the entire medical business would shut down, and that revenue stream and the tax revenues would go. They need us to be sick. They need the population of the United States of America to be just barely hanging on, working as hard as we can just to stay where we are. No progress, no growth, no building for the future, maximizing the work product they take from us for the minimum amount of upkeep coming back in.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, but you know, the thing is, these bankers, they can't go on forever, and this corruption, this military-industrial complex, this security-industrial complex, Mike, I see it starting to collapse because morally it's on a foundation of sand, and it will not stand.
I would agree with you. Unfortunately, in terms of the greed not lasting forever, the greed is not enshrined in any one individual. It's enshrined in the corporations, and corporations are immortal. This is why they are so dangerous. They never die. They never lose their wealth. They just keep on growing more and more powerful. Abraham Lincoln warned us when corporations were created, they represented a threat to the United States of America and its people, and he was absolutely right. Now they're being given rights. You know, corporations have been given First Amendment rights. Well, of course, that's absurd. Corporations don't have an opinion to express. It's the top executives who are using that shield of, hey, I speak for the corporation, to have a greater influence on the public debate than ordinary citizens. That was never intended by the founding fathers here. Frankly, I think if you're going to grant corporations rights, you ought to grant them all the rights, including that under the 13th Amendment. If they're persons, then they can't be owned, and they cannot own other persons or corporations. And at that point, every stock certificate in America is immediately invalidated.
Well, I would like to see them have an obituary column where which corporation just died because their charter ran out.
Well, originally that was the case. The first and second banks of the United States were easy to kill because their charters did run out and were not renewed. The Federal Reserve originally had a charter of 100 years, but my understanding is that was extended indefinitely by act of Congress. But frankly, I think we should not consider corporations persons until we have a death penalty for them. When a corporation commits a crime in which people die, like the Gulf oil well disaster or reactor meltdowns or putting out all of these pharmaceuticals that are killing people instead of making them better, I think there should be a death penalty for a corporation that doesn't exercise a certain sense of social responsibility.
Exactly. And like Ron Paul said in the debate, like when it's deregulation, you get those government regulations out of the way that benefit one corporation or the other. the regulations become tougher because people, corporations are forced to have an honest product and do business honestly.
Well, like I said, right now, because we've lost so much of our manufacturing, corporations are dependent on products that don't work so that you constantly have to buy new ones over and over again. And people who listen to my own show and read my own website understand the frustration I have at how quickly computer components wear out. You're constantly having to buy a new replacement part for whatever. All the problems with cars. Cars are designed to wear out just about the same time you make that final payment to the financing company. Light bulbs are designed to burn out at 1,000 hours. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people are surprised about this. If a light bulb manufacturer makes a light bulb that lasts longer than 1,000 hours, they have to pay a fine. It is, you know, that much. Constantly keep people buying the same thing over and over and over again. And it's all about extracting the maximum wealth from the public for the minimum amount of upkeep going back.
Well, you know, Mike, speaking about products that last, I'm using a 50-year-old coffee percolator because all my coffee pots I bought, Mr. Coffee, whatever, they don't last, but my 50-year-old percolator is still making coffee.
You know, that's funny you should say that because we just did that. We had one of those big fancy machines with the buttons and everything, and I told my lovely wife, I'm tired of dealing with this thing because it was a huge expensive unit, and it has this little gold mesh basket that is so fragile, and it was the first thing to start to break, and you go back to the store, oh, no, we don't sell replacement baskets. We'll just sell you a whole new coffee maker. And I said, well, I'm not going to do with that thing. I want just a kettle and a little coffee press, and I'll be happy with that. And so for Valentine's Day, Claire bought me a kettle and a coffee press, brand new. And how can you screw these things up? And yet the little insulated thing on the lever for the tea kettle to allow it to pour, that fell off this morning. The coffee press was this lovely lavender color. It's only about, 2 weeks old? And the color part is peeling off. Nobody makes a product to last anymore because the business model of the United States of America is you got to buy the same thing over and over and over again. A product that actually lasts and won't wear out is a business disaster in the American way of thinking.
Well, I gotta say, a coffee percolator. You know, the thing is, it wouldn't surprise me though, this old stuff. I put it on eBay, it would probably sell. I mean, I'm using vacuum tube stereos and stuff because all the old stuff goes out. But those old vacuum tube radios are still going well.
Well, it is interesting if you can find the vacuum tubes. Yeah, there's a lot of times when I prefer something older. In fact, we finally got ourselves a replacement car for that piece of crud Xterra that was made in Tennessee. We got ourselves a nice old Honda Civic. It is in absolutely wonderful shape. There's no body rust. You know, and I've seen these things go 300,000 miles without a major problem. And we're so glad to be back in this older car because the newer cars we were looking at, they were falling apart. Pieces were coming off. I actually had to briefly rent a Nissan. The logo on the trunk was installed upside down. I mean, it doesn't get more obvious than that. That people, stuff that's made in the United States of America, nobody cares anymore. It's all about maximizing profit, cutting corners, trying to shave every little penny of cost off things to the point where it's all fragile, it's all breaking, and it's not trustworthy. This whole debacle over compact fluorescent bulbs, they're not as economical. They don't last as long as you were told they were going to last. They're fire hazards. They're filled with mercury vapor, which is toxic. They have a radioisotope inside. And General Electric writes the law that Congress passes that says you must buy these. You're not allowed to have tungsten light bulbs anymore. And it's just, that's fascism. When corporations and the government are allied together against the interests of the general public, that is fascism. That's where we are. We're not a democracy. We're only allowed to vote on unimportant things. And there's so much massive vote fraud, even that isn't believable anymore. We're not a republic anymore. We are a fascist tyranny. We've lost our freedom to say no to any of this. No to using the private central bank. No to war in Afghanistan. No to war in Iraq. No to war in wherever. We've lost our freedom to tell the government no and have the government listen. We need to get that back. We need to reclaim the right and the freedom to say no.
I'm saying no to GMO every time. I'm eating the real food.
Good luck. They don't have to label that stuff anymore. You know, the FDA's out there saying, oh, the genetically modified crops are better for you than that food that actually came out of an animal. You don't want to eat that. Oh, it's smelly. It's all about pushing corporate products and corporate profitability.
All right, Mike. Have a good weekend.
I will certainly do my best here. Thank you very much for the phone call. All righty, we're coming down here to the end of this show here. And, yeah, I do get kind of caught up on this idea of the ability of the people to say no. Because that is what this nation was founded on. That First Amendment right to freedom of speech is the right to say no. That right to peacefully assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances is about the right to say no. And the Second Amendment is about the right to make it stick and make sure the government is listening to you. That's what the Second Amendment is for. It's not about target shooting. It's not about hunting. It talks about the security of a free state and a militia. And it reserves to the people military arms equal to those held by the government in order to hold the government in check. Now, obviously, we have lost control of this government. It's under the control of a foreign power. And if you don't believe me, look at every single candidate for office this year. What's the first thing they do when they launch their campaign? They trot on off to Israel to say, I will be a friend of Israel. I promise I'll send you money. I promise I'll shower our kids over whoever enemy you pick. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. No government can serve two masters. We need to get our government back under our control. We need to get our government to a condition in which when we say no, they will listen. All right, we got another caller on the line, Mark in Philadelphia. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha. I just kept coming on. I just heard what you said about the products. Which comes to property rights, actually, because we, it's like all the other rights come back to property, owning our own bodies, owning our own money, owning, having ownership of our common law system, which is what we're supposed to have had. And, but on the subject of these products, it's amazing. I have friends that are automotive techs, and more and more of these cars are being designed where you can't replace a part, you can't take a part off from a used car and put it on there because they all have to be flashed. You have to take it back to the dealer and have it flashed. And in some cases, you can't buy a subcomponent of a part. You got to buy the whole main component to get that subcomponent, and it's a dealer item only. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it all ties us back into this whole idea of, do we really own the cars that we drive around? I mean, if something goes wrong, trying to take it, in many cases, you can't take it to your local mom and pop store anymore to get it fixed because they don't have all the diagnostic equipment to keep up with it and all of that, and it's just on and on and on, and that's driving
well,
a little
If you're fixing your own car, you're putting some factory authorized mechanic out of a job. We can't have that going on here. And yeah, it's the same thing. We're dealing with computers. The product life cycle there is 5 years. Every 5 years, all the bus interfaces change. So parts from older computers can't be put in newer computers. If your computer is too old and parts are failing, they're just not available anymore. And the push is always buy a new this, buy a new that. There's a wonderful documentary called The Lightbulb Conspiracy that talks about all this stuff. And they talk about the 1,000-hour light bulb. They talk about the fact that computer printers actually have a chip in them that shuts them off after so many sheets of paper to make you go buy a new printer. And they talk about the early work with nylon, where they developed this incredible synthetic fiber, and it was very tough and very sturdy and very, very useful. And then the people who were buying this nylon to make nylon stockings with came back and said, you got to make it weaker. Because the stockings aren't wearing out. They're not coming back and buying. We need these things to break and fray as quickly as possible, so they have to buy new ones. And the engineers who had created nylon were very frustrated and angry that they had to take this product, this wonderful invention they had done, and deliberately weaken it in order to sell it. And that's basically where our economy is.
Just like with the diesel engine, and who's to say that supposedly the United States market is turned off by diesels because of what General Motors did. Well, maybe General Motors actually did that on purpose, because a diesel engine is actually 40% more efficient than a gasoline engine. It's built by design, in order to just run, it has to be built to much tougher standards, and it will last longer, and it gets better mileage. But, oh, no, we can't have that in the United States except for VW. By the way, that brings up a deal. You know, many of our industries are leaving the country, but VW just built a plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, invested $1 billion there. And then Metals Foundry from ThyssenKrupp, which is a German company, they just started a metals foundry in Mobile, Alabama. So anyway, it's just like, what's up with that? Why can't we have diesels over here like they do in Europe, where they've got some diesels that get 70 miles per gallon over there?
They've got racing diesels over there. I've seen them on Top Gear. These things are wonderful little cars. But it's all about preserving the power and profitability of the petroleum gasoline cartels, if you will. I got to let you go here. We've got one more caller, and we're almost at the end of the show. Thank you, Mark. We'll be right back.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Welcome back to our show.
I hate to tell you this, but I'm very, very happy.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but we're almost out of time here on the show. And I understand John is listening from home. And, John, drink your orange juice. Get healthy. We need you back here as quickly as possible to keep on fighting the fight for freedom and truth and recovering this nation from the clutches of the evil money junkies. All righty, so we got one more caller on the line, Arthur in Georgia. Aloha, Arthur. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike and John. We're praying for you. We miss you. Come home soon. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and property, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
You're reading an old draft.
No, I'm not reading. I'm citing this from memory, sir. My point...
The point I wanted to make is... In the signed version, and one of my ancestors did sign the Declaration of Independence, property was replaced with pursuit of happiness, and I know that's... Go ahead.
Slavery anymore, at least we're not supposed to. But my point is simple. This year, I believe, is our final shot at getting the change that we so desperately need. If we do not, as a united people, get what we want, then we must immediately thereafter step up and do what we have to do, whether we want to or not. We've got to do what is necessary, or we only have another option, and that is to lay down and shut up. This is our last shot. We can't keep doing this year after year after year, because no matter what we do, it seems like nothing is changing in our favor. It's all in the favor of the power-hungry monsters. And we have got to put an end to this garbage once and for all. And let these people know we will not tolerate it. And if you step up to try this garbage with us again, we will annihilate you.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. And again, we're seeing all across Europe the emergence of this we won't pay movement, which is very much tied in with what I was saying earlier in the show. If there is a revolution in this country, and there ought to be, it doesn't have to be bloody, and it doesn't have to be violent. We just have to sit down and say, we're not going to work, we're not going to feed the system with money any longer, and most importantly, we will not pay for business failures and business crimes.
Absolutely.
Find somebody else.
And I think one final thought, and then I'll let you close out the show.
Mm-hmm.
Swind, I believe, has given us a good example of what we should consider.
Okay, so we're basically at the end of our show here, and just wrapping up real quick here. When the foreign investors get the message from the American people, we're not going to pay for their losses any longer, they'll pull their money out of the American banks. It'll all come down like a real-life version of rollover, and then we got to start thinking about what kind of a nation we want here when we get a chance to build anew. That's it for the National Intel Report. John will be back here on Monday, I am certain, and have a good weekend. So long.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.